Welcome back. I am 24. This is my podcast, 24's podcast. No music intro. It's a late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning. I have to be up at school in a couple of hours. Weird enough, one of the only days. It's so weird how kind of like life changes and things of that nature. The last time we spoke, I was in a completely different headspace. But we're back. Going to get started with the playoffs here very shortly. We will go over this past weekend's games. We kind of already did that, to be honest with you. But we'll do that tomorrow. Tonight will probably be a short podcast. I always say that, then it's an hour long. But I want to... It's like I literally said it again. It's like I said it on Sunday or whatever, where I was like, I want to finish the pod, watch Suits, go to sleep. And ironically enough, I haven't accomplished that. I haven't seen an episode of Suits. I've been steadily getting through it for the last couple of weeks. I haven't seen an episode of Suits, a full one, in like 3 days. I've just been super busy with school. You know what? Also, and just improving my life overall, I'm getting back into reading. I am. Let me get it. Hold on. 2 seconds. Here it is. I have recently started to get back on my reading grind. Back in 2019, so this is about 5 years ago, I was on a mission to get through a bunch of books that I had bought on Amazon, a bunch of self-help books, it was a bunch of self-help books and some fiction. And I had had a really, really great time. I had learned a lot about philosophy and different ways of thinking. As corny as self-help books can be at times, and this is somebody who's read dozens of them in my life and probably will read more, to be honest with you. Let me plug in my keyboard because it's almost out of battery. I apologize for the squeaking. Hold on. Two more seconds. I apologize. Sorry about that. Anyways, it's just I saw that my keyboard was running out of battery. This light on my keyboard blinks whenever it's running out of battery, and so I was like, oh, I gotta charge it. But as somebody who's read a lot of self-help books and will continue to read more and loves reading self-help books, there are some that are really, really bad and that are really, really hackney and corny. And on top of that, there's some that just straight up offer you bad advice. So I get the apprehension that self-help books can give. But if you do read books, read those types of books, and really they're books on philosophy and psychology, like different ways of thinking and approaching life and things of that nature. But if you do read an actual good book from somebody who is accredited, and again, I talked about how if they have like references, and specifically if they have like a gigantic notes section of their book, then more likely than not, some of the information that they have in the book is actually like useful. But I've been getting back into reading, and I'm reading this epic fantasy book by Brandon Sanderson, who I'm not a huge Brandon Sanderson fan, which is ridiculous because I have two of his, I was thinking about buying one of his very expensive leather-bound books just now, and it's like I've never read and finished a book of his. However, I am knee-deep in The Way of Kings, which is his first book in the Stormlight Archive. To kind of give you a perspective of this book, it is it's an epic fantasy book, and it's super nerdy, it's super it's fantastical, it's epically fantastical. That's the best way I can describe it. There's four books in the series. I was just on his YouTube channel, and he posts weekly updates. And he posted a couple of weeks ago that he finished with the fifth book, Lebestes. Excuse me. A couple of weeks ago, he posted, I'm 100% done. I'm working on revisions now. for the next 6 months, but we're looking at a early December deadline for releasing the book and the new one. And at that point, I'm hoping to have read all of the books within the Stormline Archive series, among other books. The reason why that, like, if you're somebody who actually knows the series, if you're like, oh, wow, that's a lot. The reason why it's a lot is because the Stormlight Archive, again, is an epic fantasy series that every single entry in this series is 1,000 pages. Every single one. He plans on writing 10 of these books. And apparently he's already planned out and plotted out the next 5 years of books. None of them are going to be on the Stormlight Archive series. He's going to take like 5 years off of writing those books. Writing those books. Essentially, every single book that he's written, I guess, within the Stormlight Archive has been like three years. So it's going to take him 15 years to write the second half of the series. There's going to be 10 books. He's done pretty much writing five, and he's going to take 5 years off. So it's going to take him a long time to finish the series. But he kind of knew that. He kind of understood that. But Stormlight Archive has 1,000 pages in every single entry point in every single book, excuse me. And this new one is like supposed to be one of the largest ones, I guess, in the series. And so, again, referencing what I was talking about earlier, talking about how daunting it is for me to essentially read like 1,000, like multiple books that are supposed to be 1,000 pages. Like, that's essentially why it's so daunting to read all of the Stormlight Archive this year. And to be honest with you, I'm feeling a little bit frisky. I'm feeling a little bit dangerous. I got a feeling, right? I got a feeling. George R.R. Martin is going to release the next book in Game of Thrones, in the Game of Thrones series, this year or next year. I have a feeling. I have a feeling, because he keeps on talking about it, and he's like, I'm X amount done, I've done like 700 or 800 pages, this book is supposed to be somewhere probably close to like 2,000 books, or 2,000 pages, excuse me, it's supposed to be a long-ass book, and I was like, at some point, he's got to finish it, and it's been over 10 years since he finished the last one, and I haven't read a single Game of Thrones book, and I want to, and I love the TV show, I love his involvement, I read Fire and Blood. Fire and Blood is essentially a history book on Westeros, the fictitious universe that the book series and the TV show takes place on. It's literally a history book, and I read that, and it was 700 pages, and I read that last year, and I was juiced up, and I was excited about it. I can't wait to read Game of Thrones, because it's awesome. It's another epic fantasy book. Regardless, over the last couple of days, I've been getting back into Way of Kings, and I've been mega juiced up about it because of how much fun I've been having with it, how interesting some of the plot is, and just how scheming some stuff is. It's a lot of scheming. It's a ridiculous slow burn. I'm 560-something pages in. I skipped one of the interludes because the interlude was boring. I was like, it's 30 pages of interludes. An interlude in the story is, I guess, like world building. And I'm like, I am not about to read 30 pages when one of the main characters has made 30 pages of just boringness. When one of the main characters has made a huge, monumental decision that could affect the entirety of every character that's related in this story. I want to read that story, not world building. I don't want to do homework when I'm reading books. I don't want to do a bunch of side quest missions while I'm playing video games. And I was like, I'm on a side quest mission now by reading this interlude. I skipped it. It's like 20 pages, 23 pages. I started to read it, and then I was like, I'm skipping it. But beyond that interlude, and I already read another interlude, I have to figure out what happens, and I don't care. I don't care what happens in the interludes, but apparently it's just like world building stuff. But I was a couple of days ago, I'm now at like page 563, and a couple of days ago I was at page 350. I've read like 200 pages in 4 days. Granted, my normal reading schedule is essentially this. It's like I read 50 pages a day out of a certain book, and then bada bing, bada boom, I'm done for a day. And I was doing all of the math on my calendar. I was like, I'm supposed to be at this page during this day. I'm supposed to be at that page and that day and da-da-da-da-da. And I was shocked to, like, learn that essentially in 2 weeks I'm done with this book. Like, if I'm pretty consistent, it's like, boom, I'm done with this book. And then I move on to something else. Because, and it's like, it's a lesson that I always have to learn. Persistence and diligence really allow you to accomplish a lot of different things. It's like a lesson that I still have not learned. But I'm just, I'm always, which is why I'm always, like, amazed by the results. I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna finish a 1,000-page book in, like, 2 weeks. Just like, yes, because you read, like, 750 pages in that 2 week span. It's like, it's 1,000 pages. It's like, you are at 350, 24. Do some simple math. Speaking of math, second day of the semester, new semester. And speaking of persistence and diligence, I had an absolutely horrendous semester last year in college, 2020, in the fall semester. I come back to school. It's weird how much persistence and diligence, you know, plays into account when it comes to just getting stuff done. Last semester I go in, first semester back at college, hated two professors, hated going to school for like 1 day straight, hated it. And I had an incredibly hard class in college algebra, which college and work, they got to me. I failed the course. It sucks. I bombed the final. I was so disappointed in myself. But as I look now, and I have hindsight, and I talked about it a couple of days ago, I was like, I have so much weighing on me. I'm so down. I'm depressed, obviously. My grandmother died, and I'm still not over it. But I'm down on myself. I have, like, every reason not to go to school. I'm contemplating, like, dropping out of the semester. And I go to school, right? I go to school, and I'm taking astronomy. And the professor literally plays the Monty Python Universe song. Let me pull it up for you. He plays that song as like the introduction to the course. And we're asking him all of these questions, right? Because apparently this is his first semester teaching this course. And we're asking him questions like, hey, hold on. Where is it? I'm trying to like get this clip. Hold on. And so we're asking him as students all of these questions about the course. We're like, hey, what are we going to do when it comes to the school? Or not when it comes to the school, but when it comes to the tests and to the finals and da-da-da-da-da. Because I asked him, I was like, hey, I had a 100-question final on microbiology. Do we have anything like that? And he literally laughed in my face. He's like, this is supposed to be an easy class. Come on, 24. He's like, yeah. I have my notebook somewhere. I think it's in my backpack or something like that. He was like, look, where is it? I'm also taking creative writing, which is like a seminar, which is just, we're talking in the course. And then it's like, literally in astronomy, he's just like, look, all I'm going to ask you to do is, you know, we're going to have like unit tests and stuff like that. And that's pretty much the course. Unit tests. We're not going to have any homework. You know, you want to know, again, night and motherfucking day when it comes to courses. I literally do not have, for the most part, anything due whatsoever, for the most part, in all of my classes. Like, I'm looking at my calendar right now. My calendar my calendar on the school's portal. It would essentially be, it's this detailed list of stuff that is due for me in my classes every single day of every single week of every single month. And I have literally every single week pretty much two assignments that are due. It is ridiculous how little stuff I have in these classes. Ridiculous. Versus like last semester where I had like two pieces of homework from biology, then something from college algebra, then something from English, maybe something from history, African-American history, and that it's like every single one of my classes I would have something do. I would also have a lab in biology that I would have to do online. It's just, it's ridiculous how little homework I have to do. Literally all of my homework is reading and writing stuff. That's it. That's it. Here's the song that my professor for astronomy played for us. Literally, I'll play like a little bit of it. Literally, as we're sitting down and taking roll. And by the way, best thing about community college is that there's like nobody there. And so some of the classes that are a little bit obscure, the registration is a little bit wonky. Like some of them are like, you'll only get 7 kids. You need 7 kids to essentially be in there. My astronomy class is 8. But here's the Galaxy song by Monty Python that my professor played during the first lecture of class. Wait. Hold on, I can't hear it. Where is it? Is it this one? Whenever. Nope, wait, hold on. I think it's this one.
Whenever life gets you down, Mrs. Brown, and things seem hard or tough, and people are stupid, obnoxious, or daft, and you feel that you've had quite enough, just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving and revolving at 900 miles an hour. That's orbiting at 19 miles a second, so it's reckoned a sun that is the source of all our power.
How fun is this?
The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at 1,000,000 miles a day.
Yes!
In an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of the galaxy we call the Milky Way. Our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years. And our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe.
Ah, gosh. It's an awesome song. Awesome. Literally, it made me so happy to see that song. You know, so in my experience when it comes to dealing with people and relationships, you can give energy or you can take energy. You can give, like, you know, effort and commitment and stuff like that, or you can take it away. And in my experience, I've always been a giver. I'm like, here, I'll give you my best. I'll sit in the front row of class. I'll be studious. I'll do my work, et cetera, right? It was so shocking to see so many of my professors give the class energy, give the class, like, motivation, like, please, we want you to come to class. And it also helps that, like, half of my professors are literally my professors from last semester. But it's just, oh, God. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to, like, go back to school. And then literally, it's like, this may be, unironically, one of the best semesters I've ever, maybe not, yeah, one of the best semesters I've ever had for school. Oh, gosh. So juiced up about it. Anyways, well, talk to me in a month. It's like I've only had 2 days and it's been syllabus week pretty much. It's like tomorrow's when the real hard stuff happens. Anyways, let's talk about Black Tuesday or Black Monday. The day after the regular season ends and the firings start coming down the pipeline. Teams say, you know what? You're not good enough. You're fired. You're not good enough. You're fired. And on and on and on and on and on, right? There are and have been a lot of firings. Let me pull up. Do I have the list? I wish that people just made it. I think this is it. Yeah. I got 6 teams all with head coaching vacancies. Chargers, Raiders, Panthers, Falcons, Commanders, Titans. I am updating, like refreshing Twitter every like 5 seconds because I'm like, when are the Patriots supposed to make a decision on Bill Belichick? And it looks as if they still have not made a decision on Bill Belichick. I don't know how they haven't made a decision on Bill Belichick. It's very obvious that he's not a very good head coach. But I'll talk to you and I'll get into the discussion on head coaches. So the two top tier, really three, I guess, top tier candidates are potentially are Bill Belichick, John Harbaugh, or Jim Harbaugh, Michigan's head coach, and Mike Vrabel, right? It's a weird year. I'm a cynic, or I'm skeptical when it comes to these three coaches, Jim Harbaugh, Bill Belichick, Mike Vrabel. Bill Belichick is a great head coach, but I think his methods are outmoded and outdated. I think Mike Vrabel is incredibly overrated. I'll get into that in a second. And I think Jim Harbaugh just won't work in the NFL, right? And congratulations to Michigan and the Wolverines and Gambling and Roll Tide! Goodness gracious, I hate Michigan. I love Alabama. Love Alabama. Sad to see Washington go down the way that they did, but, you know, it is what it is. Anyways, Michigan won the national championship game last night. I did not want to watch that game. I would have been so pissed off if I had to cast that game. Oh, my God. But Michigan won. And all for all intents and purposes, it looks as if Jim Harbaugh will leave Michigan and go back to the NFL. Which team? Potentially the Chargers. My money, if he does go back to the NFL, why would he go to Carolina, right? Why would he go to Carolina? Is a disaster. Jake Tapper's a moron. He's an idiot. The Raiders, it's the same thing with the owner. I don't know if Al Davis or Mark Davis, I think it's Mark Davis. I don't know if Mark Davis will keep Antonio Pierce, the interim head coach, who did a really, really good job with what he was handed. The Chargers, they're the best team of the six that are available, and they're apparently trying to really get Jim Harbaugh. They're trying to get him really, really heavily. And so we'll see what happens long term. But I'll talk about the six teams that have head coaching vacancies, and I'll talk about the three head coaches that are available. I'll start with Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel got fired today by the Tennessee Titans. I was a little bit worried. For all intents and purposes, it looked as if he was going to keep his job, and then he didn't. And that stuff happens. Weirdly enough, I've seen a lot of people say Mike Vrabel is the guy. He's the guy that people want now, and he's going to be great for whichever team, or he's going to be a hot commodity, a hot candidate for whichever team he goes to, and he's going to have prospects. Can I just ask a very interesting and obvious question? Why is he a hot commodity? Why is he a top-tier candidate? Why is he potentially going to get another head coaching job after being really, really bad these last couple of years? And look, hey, I get it, right? He is not the reason why they traded away AJ Brown. I understand that. But he is kind of the reason why a lot of bad decisions were made, least of all. Like, why exactly did the Tennessee Titans go after so many defensive prospects that then didn't really turn into anything down the road? It's like Bud Dupree, for example. Bud Dupree, I thought he was a great player or a good player from Pittsburgh, and I thought that he was going to be a really good player for Tennessee, maybe not a premier pass rusher. And I thought that it was a good pickup, and it was not. Definitively, it was not a good pickup for Pittsburgh. And then you look at all of the secondary additions, Caleb Farley, Christian Fulton, guys just that didn't turn out. They essentially only have one good defensive player, and that's it. And there's nothing really in their defensive scheme that I think is that good. It's not something to write home about. And then furthermore, it's like their offense has been in shambles. Their entire offense is, hey, let's run the football with Derrick Henry 30 times every single game. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. What do you want from us? Like, it's not really a good structure or a good team or good organization. And then you add in all of the stuff with, like, A.J. Brown and the dysfunction at quarterback and, like, all this other stuff. And you're just like, he's not a very good coach. I don't know why people are saying he's, like, such a hot commodity. I was watching Colin Cowherd's show today, and he was like, well, you know, he's going to have his prospects. I would rather have him over Belichick right now than... I would rather have Mike Vrabel over Bill Belichick. And I was like, how does that make sense? In what way, in what universe does that make sense that you would want Mike Vrabel over Bill Belichick? Like, as somebody who doesn't really think Bill Belichick right now is a good head coach, I would want Bill over Mike Vrabel every single day of the week. Maybe you get rid of Bill Belichick, the GM, but Bill Belichick, the head coach, is, I mean, literally will coach circles around Mike Vrabel, but I'm shocked that people are so high on Mike Vrabel when he's done absolutely nothing as a professional football coach. He's done nothing. He's overly relied on Derrick Henry, to be honest with you. I don't get it. I really don't. But, I don't even know what else to say about Mike Vrabel besides, like, I can't believe that Mike is such a hot commodity right now. And then you look at Bill Belichick. I'm a bit shocked. And by the way, Bill Belichick has not, just to be clear, he hasn't been fired yet. Apparently they were supposed to meet yesterday to talk about his future. And then I don't know if they talked today. Nobody really has anything on the Patriots. But to me, Bill, I mean, what do you want me to say about Bill Belichick? Bill Belichick's one of the greatest head coaches of all time, if not the greatest. His recent struggles without Tom Brady kind of illuminates the fact that, yes, he's great. Yes, he's awesome. Yes, he's fantastic. He's one of the best. But it brings into question, it's just like, well, how much would he have done without Tom? Honestly. Yeah, I get it. He's great at constructing defenses and things of that nature, but I think Bill Belichick, the GM, is a tad bit overrated. I think the head coach is perfectly rated. But when you combine the two and Bill is doing both at the exact same time, like, to me, I gotta lump both of them in. And it's just like, as great as he is as a head coach, he hasn't been a great GM. And it's just like, does he want to relinquish that power to somebody else? Does he want to work with somebody else? Like, how much is he going to change his tactics in regards to the teams that he will have to work with? And it's just like, I don't know. I don't know really a lot of these answers to these questions. I mean, the reality is he could not be fired. And then it's just like, well, what do you do at quarterback? This is a bad year for the AFC when it comes to quarterbacks. And Bill Belichick and the Patriots finished dead last in their division, pretty much. I don't know. His drafts are horrific. His coaching has started to fall apart. Maybe he needs a different place to coach at. I'm, to be honest with you, a bit shocked that he's still not fired. Just like, well, what has he done in the last 2 years to kind of justify his job? Because Bill would have no problem if a player starts to have two bad years and then cut him. That's what would happen. If a player had two bad years, he would cut him. Like, I talked about how the Patriot way isn't really a real thing and how it's kind of the whole reason why the Patriot way worked was because of Tom. And so now you get to a point where it's like, well, we got to get rid of Bill. And he's like, there's hesitation there. But apparently he's a hot commodity. And apparently Carolina wants him. Washington wants him, potentially. I don't get it. By the way, Washington is doing this weird thing where they have a panel of guys. They have Rick Spielman, who was the Vikings GM, who to me, he was average to below average. as a GM. And then they're bringing in Bob Myers, the GM for the Golden State Warriors, to kind of be a consultant on it and to be kind of this odd man out when it comes to GMing, or not GMing, but when it comes to the selection process of the next GM for the Commanders. I looked at the list of GMs that they were considering, and apparently I judge you based off of the candidates that you're interviewing more than anything else. And I was like, oh, okay, this is nice. And apparently Magic Johnson is also on the panel. And I was like, oh, okay, this is nice. And so I was like, well, who are the candidates that you're planning on interviewing? Somebody from Kansas City who is completely just... Kansas City has completely whiffed and had so many different bad decisions at GMing and at player personnel. I'm like, why are you looking at Kansas City? And then they were looking at the Bears, which the Bears... just whole dysfunction speaks for itself. And then I think that's it. Like, there was probably a couple more people, but they were kind of just, like, insignificant. I was like, look at the teams that have built the best rosters in the last couple of years. Why are you not looking at the 49ers? Why are you not looking at the Ravens? Why are you not looking at the Cowboys? Why are you not even looking at the Eagles? Like, not a single team. Like, why are you looking at the Bears? Kansas City. I mean, Kansas City, everybody's like, well, Kansas City wins. And it's just like, yeah, they win because of Patrick Mahomes. Do you think that Alex Smith can roll up with with the players that Patrick has to deal with and essentially throw for 4,000 yards or however many yards Patrick has thrown for? It's ridiculous. I was like, oh, the Commanders are just a bad organization. I was like, this is what a bad organization looks like, right? You'll get glimpses of it for the next couple of weeks when it comes to team selecting coaches and GMs. You're just like, how do they interview that guy? That doesn't make any sense when you think about it. That's the best they can do? That's what the new owner wants? Okay, well, you get what you pay for. And what you're about to pay for is a whole lot of nothing. I'm kind of shocked that that's the direction that the Commanders went. I'm like, this is your guy? This is the guy that you want to start your order with? Some guy from Kansas City or Buffalo? Or not Buffalo, but the Bears? That's ridiculous. Sorry, going back to the coaching candidates, top three. Mike Vrabel, overrated coach, relied primarily on Derrick Henry. Bill Belichick, great head coach, probably a little bit past his prime. Jim Harbaugh, I think he's overrated as a head coach. Everybody essentially makes him out to be like essentially one of the greatest head coaches of our generation. He got an Addy, congratulations, et cetera, et cetera. He got it now. It's a huge accomplishment for sure. But I don't think he has anywhere close to the same success in the NFL. I don't even know what he does well. He's an offensive-minded coach, and that's kind of it. But I don't know what he does well, to be honest with you. Look, college in the NFL is different. It's kind of like when Urban Meyer went from college to the NFL, and we saw how much of a disaster he was. I get it. Jim went from the NFL to college, and so there's a little bit of difference in that. But I like the rules that college plays with recruits, with player personnel, all that good stuff is completely different from the way that the rules and the games are played in the NFL when it comes to getting players. It's like you got a salary cap. You can't just go out and get all the damn good players in your respective state and in the country and have them join Michigan. That's not how that works. You actually have to have a little bit more strategy to that than essentially saying the biggest number. I don't know. I'm sitting up in my chair. Apparently, Jim wants to come back, and I don't really have anything wrong with him coming back to the NFL, but it's just, I do have a problem with him, with people saying that he's like this great coach in the NFL, or that he's going to have this huge impact, I guess, on his next team that he's going to go to. And I think it may be the Chargers. We'll see what happens. But to be honest with you, you can't really coach anything worse than what Brandon Staley did. So he may actually be, I mean, he's going to get a lot of great players if he goes to the Chargers. So maybe I'm a little bit wrong about that if he goes to Los Angeles. We'll see what happens. Three top, not coordinators, but coaches. All of them with huge question marks, in my opinion. All of them. I don't like any of them right now. I would say Colin Cowherd again said that this is a great year for candidates. I would say it is when it comes to some of the teams, like the Chargers. The Chargers are the crown jewel of this year. Like, I think they're a way better team than they reflected when it came to this season. But if you are a if you are like a team that's looking for a new head coach, I think it's hard. I think it's difficult. I don't like any of the candidates right now. A lot of the top prospects have had down years and bad years. And you now have these other top prospects like Bill Belichick, Jim Harbaugh, and Mike Vrabel that all have huge question marks. I'm a bit shocked that Mike Vrabel is getting the acknowledgement that he's getting right now, to be honest with you. Six teams: Carolina, Raiders, Chargers, Falcons, Commanders, Titans. I'll talk about a couple of them here right now. Carolina is an absolute mess. They are a mess. Their owner is an idiot who throws drinks on fans because he's pissed off. And he traded away multiple top-tier players while getting Matt Rhule into the head coaching job in Carolina because he's sweaty. And it's just like, turns out Matt Rhule isn't even that good of a college head coach. Gee, I wonder who said that him making Baylor football players not be degenerate human beings wasn't necessarily something that was a signifier, for him being a head coach. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, the reason why Matt Rhule got a head coaching job in the NFL was A, because of foolishness and probably nepotism or connections, but B, it was because he had quote-unquote turned around Baylor as a football program in Texas. And I said and thought, I was like, well, he hasn't really beaten Oklahoma when Lincoln Riley was there. And for me, the reason why Baylor was looked at with such a, so positively was because he had made the Baylor players and the Baylor athletics program not be full of degenerates. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, apparently, among other things, right, Baylor recruiters, football recruiters, would go to prospective recruits for, you know, Baylor, and they would try and entice them to come to Baylor with beer. Like, they would say, you can get beer whenever you want, wherever you want, however you want, and women, by implying and making the implication that women at Baylor would sleep with the football players if they go to Baylor. And so, to me, among other things, of course. So, to me, I'm like, it doesn't take a lot to go from that to, you know, decent human beings or average human beings, you know? I thought Matt Rhule was overrated. And it's glaringly obvious with him that he is overrated because of his time at Nebraska. But Carolina selected Matt Rhule. He's god-awful. He's terrible. Same thing goes with the Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders are in a new city, interesting city. I don't know if the city of Vegas has embraced them. I don't really care, to be honest with you. Raiders don't have a head coach. Raiders don't have a quarterback. Raiders have Davante Adams, who's in a weird spot. They had Antonio Pierce as their head coach and Aiden O'Connell as their quarterback. But the question kind of remains, it's like, does Antonio Pierce get the job and how good of a head coach is he? I mean, fair play to Antonio Pierce. He put a number on the Los Angeles Chargers with Brandon Staley and all those boys that that they had. I mean, they won, like, it was a ridiculous game. I think they won, like, 60-something to, like, 10 or ridiculous numbers. It was like watching a college game. But the Raiders are in the same boat that the Panthers are in the sense of they have a dysfunctional owner, a team. Actually, they're in a better position because I think they have a better team. But their reputation as being a dysfunctional organization kind of stands true. And I don't know who their GM is. That's not really a good thing at all. But we'll see kind of what happens here. Chargers, they fired their head coach and their GM. Chargers, again, they have so many great players. They have Justin Herbert. They have Khalil Mack. They have Derwin James. They have Asante Samuel Jr. They have Joey Bosa. They have Rashawn Slater. They have Zion Johnson. They have Keenan Allen. They have, like, on and on and on and on, like, Pro Bowler after Pro Bowler after Pro Bowler. Top athlete, huge prospect, et cetera, et cetera. They have so many great players, and they barely made it to the playoffs last year. They didn't make it to the playoffs this year, and Justin Herbert got hurt. And they fired both their GM and their head coach. They're not a very good team, and it's predicated off of the simplicity of the fact that they are an incredibly dysfunctional organization and front office. And that kind of like phases down and gets passed down to the team. They're not very good. But they are filled with talented players that really need some direction. And if they get that direction, then they'll be easily a huge contender in the AFC and one of the best teams in the NFL. But it's just like, do they get their guy at head coach? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Arthur Smith and the Atlanta Falcons. Arthur Smith is gone. Atlanta has their new head coach coming down the pipeline really, really soon. We'll see what happens. Atlanta is such an interesting team because they have so many awesome players. They have Drake London. They have Bijan Robinson. They have Kyle Pitts. They have so many awesome players. And they have failed miserably at utilizing those awesome players consistently, by the way. This isn't like the first go around. This isn't the first time I've had to say this. And so Atlanta, once again, swing and a miss with Arthur Smith, joke of a head coach in a god-awful division in a semi-weak conference. The top end is the top end. They're the best teams. And then everyone else is kind of lagging behind the 49ers and the Cowboys, essentially. And if the Eagles get their act together, the Eagles. But Atlanta, I've said, like, I don't know why any of the teams in the NFC South didn't take Brady retiring in a couple of years more seriously. This was like 3 years ago. I've been saying this for almost 3-4 years. That when Tom Brady leaves the NFL, he will take away so much power and create a power vacuum in that division. And I thought that teams should get on getting a young quarterback soon and early, and none of them really took that seriously. Carolina got Bryce Young for sure, but New Orleans, they traded for Derek Carr. They were like, immediately we're going to trade for Derek Carr, or technically they didn't trade for him. They signed him after the Raiders released him. But the Saints were like, we're going to get Derek Carr because we want a veteran quarterback to try and take over the division, and the Saints are now not in the playoffs. That strategy didn't work. Bucks with Tampa Bay, with Baker Mayfield, are going to make the playoffs, barely, I might add. And Atlanta's, they're done, and Carolina's terrible. But that NFC South, as a division, had such a unique opportunity to be in a great position after Brady retired and nobody took it seriously. And that's why all these teams are up a creek without a paddle, including Atlanta, who, once again, the status has not changed. They need a quarterback. They have not gotten said quarterback. They need more defensive players. They have not gotten said defensive players. They have gotten offensive players that they have no idea how to utilize. Good job, Atlanta. We will see you in a little bit. We'll see. We'll see what happens with Atlanta later on. Washington with Ron Rivera. A lot of great offensive weapons at wide receiver, but that's kind of it. They're probably going to draft Caleb Williams or whoever is on their board at number two at quarterback, because why not? Or not why not, but because Sam Howell's not the guy. I'm rewatching the Commanders versus the Cowboys game, and I mean, the Cowboys were ready. They were prepared. They weren't dragging feet. That game that happened last week, or not last week, but last year against the Commanders at the end of the season was a complete fluke game. And Dallas absolutely mollywopped them this past Sunday. And Sam Howell, he does not look like a professional NFL quarterback. He's got all the arm talent and athleticism, but he makes poor decisions. He has bad throws. He also has a bad offensive line, but the fact that he has very, very little connection with Terry McLaurin and Josh Dobbs or Jahan Dotson. God damn, I'm tired. Let me look up Jahan Dotson's numbers. They played him every single game this year. Not Jahan Dotson, excuse me. They played Sam Howell every single game this year. And Sam Howell really, I mean, he had a bad year this year. Jahan Dotson, to me, is a 1,000-yard wide receiver, and he only has 1,000 yards as a wide receiver. Like, in 2 years, he has 1,000 yards. Against the Cowboys, he gets 2 receptions, 17 yards. How does that happen? Rookie season, 523 yards, 7 touchdowns. This past season, 518 yards, 4 touchdowns. It's like, how does that happen? He's regressed with another year of Sam Howell. Sam Howell, 3,900 yards, 21 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. That is fucking terrible. He's got awful. Again, I talked about it where I was like, Sam Howell pretty much has an interception in every single game this year. I mean, hell, you kind of have to with 21 interceptions. Bad year overall for the Commanders. Don't really know how they're going to fix it. They need a head coach, but they also need, like, plenty more. Now you also need an edge rusher. Thank you, Ron Rivera, for trading away all of your edge rushers during the season, by the way. And it's just like, I don't really know what the Commanders are supposed to do long term besides pray that they can get a top tier quarterback. I don't know. We'll see. God, I cannot believe that god-awful TV show Farmer Wants a Wife is a real thing, and that Fox gave it another season. Horrendous television. Finally, Tennessee with Mike Vrabel. I saw this press conference by the owner of Tennessee recently, like today, a couple of hours ago, and I don't think it was as bad as people are saying that it was, and how disingenuous and all this other stuff. I myself didn't really care about it. I thought that she had actually got asked and answered some pretty pertinent questions. And for me, I mean, there wasn't really a whole lot that she could do or say. I mean, she bet on the wrong horse multiple times. And I think in a lot of ways, it is a very, very good thing that she got rid of Mike Vrabel now versus try to run it back with him without Derrick Henry. They're in a rebuild. In fact, out of all the teams that I just listed off, they are in like a hard rebuild. It's like, if Will Levis is not the guy, get anyone else. You need wide receivers, you need running backs, you need offensive linemen. You need defensive linemen, you need probably multiple corners. Like, they have nothing outside of their star defensive tackle. I forgot his name. They have nothing. They are uncompetitive in their division. And I was worried about this when they had essentially bet everything on just, hey, we're going to roll out Derrick Henry, and that's essentially just going to be how we play football. Derrick Henry's going to get the football again like 30 times, and that's it. And for me, I was like, do you have any other strategy? And the answer is no. It's no. It's a hard no. But that's the bed, and you lie in it the way that you made it. And they essentially were like, yep, we don't want to invest in any top-tier players. They can help us out. Or maybe not invest, but we made bad investments on these top-tier players. And now they are where they are. bottom of their division, bottom of the conference, bottom of the league. I'm tired. We'll talk about the games that happened this weekend, the implications tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow. 24s Podcast.